The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson at KIIC Albia and Colleen Larimer at the Bedford Times. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, it's been a week ago or more that you sent out a press release about asking the EPA to stop attacking crop protection tools. And non-farm communities or areas, they probably have no idea what you're talking about here. So walk us through this, you're asking
for. In the big picture, but this isn't all of it immediate right now, but they said they're going to do a review of all safety and efficacy of every farm chemical. Now, that's going to take them a long time to do that. But the immediate concern we have is with the chemical called dicamia. And so not only did I put out a press release on that, but three or four senators got on a call with me and Ernst to the EPA to tell them how important dicamia is, particular with soybeans. In fact, maybe that's the only product it can be used on. And if you can't have over-the-top spraying of dicamia, how are you going to control the weeds? And we didn't get an answer because they haven't completed their study. Maybe when they're done with it, they won't change its use very much anyway. But just suppose they would say you can't use this anymore. My last question to the EPA director was, tell me how you're going to control the weeds and soybeans if you only got nine-inch rows. You know, it's not like when I farmed, you had 38-inch rows. You could go in with a tractor and a cultivator and get most of the weeds out. So that's where we are, and I don't have an update on anything that we've told them at the time. Colleen, it's your turn.
Okay, the high fuel prices, Senator. You know, they vary a lot across the country. Here in Iowa, ours has jumped probably 50 to 60 cents here in just the last 30 days or so. And they're not using the biofuels. Can you address the high fuel prices?
Well, first of all, Biden should embrace cleaner, cheaper biofuels to help lower gas prices because it is cheaper. And it's a homegrown fuel, and I'll just give you an example. A gas at my hometown filling station was $3.99 in New Hartford. The last 50 cents you can probably blame on Putin going into Ukraine. But the first dollar, and this all started 1 year ago now, the president immediately gets into office and shuts down the XL pipeline, stops drilling on the north slope of Alaska, offshore Alaska, public lands in the United States, offshore Gulf of Mexico, offshore Atlantic Ocean, or coast, I should say, and then put regulations on banks not being able to loan money to energy companies. What would you expect? And then they say they did it because we got global warming problem. We do have a global warming problem. But remember that we also have very good regulations to cut down on global warming from our fossil fuels industry, where then the president gets heat because the price of gas is so high, goes to OPEC and Russia and Venezuela to get oil there. They don't have the same regulations. So we're not only importing their oil, but we're importing their dirty oil, and consequently, you just see the inconsistency of this government's policy. So, the thing is to undo the regulations that stopped that caused prices to go up that $1 before it went up $1.50, and then greater use of fossil fuels. I mean, greater use of biofuels. Back to Tom.
Now, last week, you sent out a press release about the Sunshine Week. I presume it was last week, to celebrate transparency and accountability. And something really interesting was that this actually first came up during President Lincoln's tenure in 1863. So what would you like to see?
Well, you're getting two things mixed up. Sunshine Week is about making sure that journalists get access to all the information about government, because they are the policemen of our political system to make sure government operates according to the Constitution and the laws that we pass. And I think it's very important that we honor journalists and point to the necessity of open government in order for our system of government to operate properly. The other one is the Abraham Lincoln Law. I added in 1986 a very important provisions to that that has brought in $70 billion of fraudulently taken money and brought that back into the federal treasury. And for the last year, it was 5 6/10 billion dollars that it brought back in. So every year we get a report, and every year I put out a press release on the success of what we call the False Claims Act. Colleen.
On the infrastructure money, Senator, do you have any specifics on how that money is coming to Iowa, what specific projects are being done, and how much money is actually coming to our state?
I think the only one... the only one I can give you specific numbers on is $823 million for locks and dams up and down the Mississippi River, or it'd be from St. Louis north. And then I met with the Iowa DOT last week, and they're going to give us maybe 100 projects that I could say specifically, this is where the money's going to be spent in Iowa. But I can give you some broader figures, $423 million to help substandard bridges in Iowa that are either unsafe or somewhat unsafe. And then out of $65 billion nationally, I don't have a figure for Iowa, but there's $65 billion nationally for broadband. And, you know, we don't have internet service every place in Iowa, and this is to make sure that we get better broadband service, internet service, is pretty important. Then there's another one that's $4 billion plus, but how much plus I can't give you an exact figure on, that's going to go to improve the highways within Iowa. But just in case you run into people that kind of say, why did we pass an infrastructure bill? It's pretty darn simple. Ever since 1956, every year, we've had an infrastructure bill, because that's the only way you get back the gas tax money that Iowans pay in, 18 cents for every mile they, or every gallon they buy, and it goes to the federal treasury, and you want to get that money back to Iowa. And it started in 1956 when we built the interstate highway system. And so every year we've had such a piece of legislation to finance roads and bridges, et cetera, et cetera. Now, maybe we're covering more areas now, but I don't know why people think it's so odd that we pass an infrastructure bill. And then don't forget, Trump pushed for a $1 trillion infrastructure bill for 4 years, and then... it never happened, and I was hearing those whole 4 years from all the agricultural groups and from the Chambers of Commerce of Iowa and the contractors of Iowa, why don't you get an infrastructure bill? We need to improve our highways and bridges. And so when I had a chance to vote on it last year, I voted for it, and I think it was the right vote to have. I'm going back to now Tom.
Yes, Senator, you and Joni Ernst, as members of the Senate Agricultural Committee, are seeking to cut red tape and streamline the sprawling federal resources you'd like to see in office for rural prosperity? What's the goal end game with this proposal?
Yeah. Well, that's a very important bill. The Rural Prosperity Act is pretty darn simple. It just puts in the White House an office and people that are going to be concerned about rural America. Now, that doesn't mean that there's nobody in the White House today that concentrates or that deals in some part of their job with rural America. But it's convoluted, and there isn't one person with their primary responsibility to concentrate on services of government for rural America. So this would set up this office and streamline the services for rural America, because it isn't just the Department of Agriculture that deals with rural America. Throughout the government bureaucracy, there's a lot of agencies have something to do with rural America, and they need to be coordinated better than they have in the fact, and they need to be coordinated from the White House. So this office is going to do that job. Back to Colleen.
The war in Ukraine, I know that a lot of the fertilizer comes from Ukraine. Does that have an immediate impact on Iowa, or are there stockpiles in the United States so that maybe we won't feel effect of that for a while?
Well, depends on potash. We're short in the United States. We could get a lot more from Canada if we have to, and maybe we get a lot from Canada. But wherever it's cut down, I think it's going to drive up the price. Now, phosphorus, we have 82% of our supply comes from one country that company's in Florida. I'm sorry to say it was Iowa, but it's going to impact Iowa. And then on anhydrous ammonia, we have both domestic production and we import a lot. So I can't quantify for you why anhydrous and these other fertilizers have gone up 200-300%, but they have, and some of them might be supply chain. It's at least with potash, it's just going to be worse because of what's going on in Ukraine now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Tom and Colleen, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.